Bonjour, everyone, and welcome to a everyone. Not everyone, everyone.
You didn't get the English part.
I know. I can't speak English, but I can speak decent French. No, I can't. Anyways, hello, everyone. That's better. Welcome to another episode of You Missed It. I am your host, Jack, and it's my movie today. And today I picked The Rocket, released in 2005. Now, before I continue, just wanted to give a quick shout-out to our social media pages. You can find us on Twitter at YMI_podcast. You can find us on YouTube at YouTube You Missed It Podcast on YouTube. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us almost everywhere now. So listen, share, subscribe. Get us out there, folks. Anyway, so today... again, as I said, I picked the movie The Rocket, and it's a 2005 sports biopic about NHL legend Maurice The Rocket Richard, and the movie chronicles his, from his humble beginnings to his ascension with the Montreal Canadiens, as well as dealing with and confronting the constant discrimination that he and other French-Canadian hockey players received in a league dominated by the English-speaking. It was directed by, and I apologize if I pronounce any of these French names wrong, so don't blame me. It was directed by Charles Benhamé, written by Ken Scott, and it stars Roy Dupuis as Maurice Rocket Richard, Julie Le Breton, who plays Maurice's wife, and Stefan McHattie. The movie also features former NHL players Vincent LeCavalier, Mike Ricci, Ian LaPierre, Pasquale Dupuis, and Sean Avery. The movie was made on a budget of $8 million. I couldn't find the what the movie made. It's on. There's no information on that, so I have no idea what it made.
It made nothing.
It made nothing, yeah, pretty, I guess. It was nominated for 13 Genie Awards, which are the Canadian Oscars, for those who don't know. It won 9, including Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Director, Best Production Design, Best Cinematography, Best Costumes, Best Editing, and Best Sound Editing. However, it lost Best Picture to Bon Cop Bad Cop.
Ah.
And for those of you who don't know who Maurice The Rocket Richard is, here's his career highlights and notable achievements. He is an 8-time Stanley Cup winner, including winning 5 in a row during his last 5 NHL seasons. He played 978 games, scored 544, becoming the very first NHL player to ever score 500 goals in a career. When he retired, he was the leading scorer in both goals and points. He is a 14-time All-Star. He's also notably the first player to ever score 50 goals in 50 games, a feat only accomplished by 5 other players in NHL history. That includes Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Mike Bossy, and Brett Hull. Gretzky did it 3 times.
Yeah.
when Maurice Richard died in the year 2000, he was the first non-politician honored by the province of Quebec with a state funeral. So he was that iconic in Quebec. One of the things I think should be noted is, I almost kind of wish they had this in the movie, is 4 years before they died, when they closed the forum, in 1996, they brought out all the old former great Montreal players. And when they brought Maurice out, the fans gave him a 20-minute standing ovation, where Maurice was even like telling them to stop, but they wouldn't stop. And eventually Maurice broke down and cried, and they knew they got him.
I remember that.
Oh, it's great. It's one of the best like NHL moments, period.
Yeah, I remember a lot of that. I remember when he died too. It was like a national, it was a big deal nationally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like,
no,
even here.
He's just an icon in Canada. He's an icon in hockey. He's an icon, especially in Quebec. He's a national hero. And the movie itself, what's kind of neat is Roy Dupuis is reprising his role as Maurice Richard, as he played Maurice Richard in one of the famous Canadian Heritage shorts.
Oh.
That
I remember that short too.
Yeah, up in like the 90s, they used to play. They still play new ones now. These 1-minute kind of like commercials that showcased a moment in Canadian history, and one of them was Maurice when he was moving all his furniture to his house, and he gets hurt, and they think can he even play, and he winds up scoring 8 points in one game, which was a record until Daryl Sittler broke it with 10 points in the 70s. So yeah, it's kind of neat how they brought him back and all that. But So yeah, I hadn't seen this movie in a while. When I first saw it, I really liked it. And upon re-seeing it, my opinion still holds. I think this is a solid hockey movie. I think it's one of the best ones out there, and the pool of good hockey movies is admittedly quite small.
Yeah.
So it stands out among a small batch, and yeah, no, I kind of want to get this going, so I'm curious to see what y'all think of it. So move on to Rylan. What did you think of The Rocket?
I liked The Rocket. I liked it a lot. It's not your typical sports movie. I feel like it's not your typical like glory seeking story, or you know, your coach recovering a struggling team story, or you know, somebody needing to get their mojo back, or whatever, any of those kind of typical storylines that you usually see. It's about Maurice using his passion and raw talent to drive his way through an organization that basically doesn't really care if he's there or not. He's investing all of his effort, all of his passion into this. And he's aware that he needs to be do this to support his family, and he's aware that it could, especially because of his health, that it could all be taken away instantly. And yet that's the world he's in now. It's the path he's chosen for himself, and he's forced to stick with it. And you learn very quickly about him that he's a prideful person, and along the way he has to sacrifice his integrity in some places, even just for the sake of his family. Like he keeps his mouth shut about all the discrimination and such for years and years, until he finally does say something, and then immediately he's forced to recant it. And this is near the end of the movie, mind you, but you can see that just kills him at that point. And you know, when you think like a hockey movie, you think bright lights, you think bright colors and stadiums, but the movie, it's actually quite dark, almost gritty looking. Like there's a lot of grays, a lot of browns, and a lot of the color, I mean, except for the actual Montreal Canadiens jersey, just comes from the kind of stark, overexposed lighting, which I thought was interesting as well. And the whole thing kind of had this graininess to it.
Yeah, it matches what a lot of old photographs and old footage look like of that era of hockey. Like if you look, go through like old photos from the 40s, 30s, 50s or whatever, like they all have that kind of, like they captured the vibe and the feel of that era, like I think really good. Like
it's a very interesting stylistic choice, but mm-hmm. I really liked it.
Yeah, this definitely isn't a Mighty Ducks movie, that's for sure. Yeah,
Zach, the score, they kept it subdued, simple.
Yeah, for sure. Zach, what did you think?
I think this might be the second best hockey movie, only to the great score. A hockey musical. That's the best hockey movie.
That's on the list.
Yeah, no, I think this is, yeah, it's really good. I was, the thing that stood out the most for me, honestly, I mean, besides the story, you know, and being an important one to tell, right, is the cinematography. Yeah, that was outstanding.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, like you were saying, like, I think they really captured the era. And I just thought they did a really, you know, did really interesting things that I think a lot of Canadian films kind of lack. Where it makes it a little more cinematic, it makes it a little more its own thing, right? And makes it appeal to more people if they go and see it. Yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought, you know, the score was good too. I thought, like, when it crept in. And Stephen McCaddy is always great as well. He was the coach in the movie. He's always a standout, I find, in, like, everything. And he really shined in this, too. Mm-hmm. What was it?
Roy Dupuis, yeah.
Yeah, he was good, too, as, you know, Maurice Richard. And, yeah, I mean, it was just a solid movie, you know, overall. I did find it was kind of long at parts, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not too long, just maybe a little too long. But I realize there's a lot to fucking cover, too. I mean, the fact that they kind of end it and there's still five more years of him, like, winning Stanley Cups and stuff is like, oh shit, they could have even covered that, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, his career was longer than pretty much any hockey player's at that point.
And
yeah.
a hot streak is basically yeah. lasting your entire career.
Then there's a lot yeah. of highlight you yeah. know, stuff. So.
His career, there hadn't, well, obviously there had never been a career like a hockey player like him before. So the idea, and they mentioned that, like, you know,
yeah.
I think they pointed out at a certain point, I think when he's 34.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, you had your best season ever. So, I mean, Yeah, he's it's way too long of a career and way too many Stanley Cups to focus in on that.
Oh yeah, yeah. It'd be way too long. So I get it. Yeah.
And plus, but the story wasn't really 100% focused on his playing career.
No.
It was sort of paralleled with the main heart of it is just him struggling against those who put him down, particularly the English versus French.
Yeah,
exactly. I feel like a lot of kind of the sub themes of the movie as well is kind of about hockey becoming something that everyone can enjoy. Is like you see that at the start of the movie, they have like the cheap seats like penned off in like a cage, and then they're like literally tearing down the walls at the end, and everybody enjoys the game together. So you have the class union, you have people overcoming language and cultural barriers. Like it's kind of about showing that time where hockey kind of became for everyone and something that Canadians in general can all kind of rally around.
Yeah, and just around that time too, like between when they won the five straight, I think that's around the same time that a lot of things were starting to change. Like the NHL, I'm blanking on his name at the top of my head, but in Boston had introduced the first African-American player to ever play in the NHL in the 50s as well.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Don't ignore that. And
don't ignore that.
No, I said ignore that.
No, okay. No, don't ignore it. Send send tiki torches to Jack's house.
Jack's, yes.
Oh,
mailbox.
Fuck that. Anyways, and now like you look in the NHL now, just how many different players from different countries now play in the NHL, from Sweden, Finland, Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. There's even been some players from like China and all that.
Yep.
It's crazy just how much now it's an international league, and how far we have come. So I feel like that the movie kind of captures how, you know, when someone finally does stand up to say, hey, this is crap, we shouldn't stand for this anymore. We've witnessed the ripple effect of that, and
you're right. It's so international that they're not even going to the Olympics anymore.
Just the NHL, you know, they want their own World Cup and all that. So
yeah,
all about that money,
the moolah.
One step forward.
That's right.
Two steps forward.
It's truly
a
World Cup when it's just the NHL.
And, the World Cup they had other international players from other leagues to play, but it was run by the NHL. But I know what you mean. It's a little silly now.
It's money.
Yeah. But anyways, Andrew, you're the only one who had seen this movie besides myself. How was it again, seen again?
So I liked it a lot the first time I saw it. I still liked it this time. So I mean, my opinion hasn't really changed. I like it a lot. I think it's in the top tier of hockey movies. There aren't a lot, like you said. I don't know. Mighty Ducks is still a pretty damn good hockey movie. but I mean, this one, I appreciate the approach a lot more and the story it tries to tell. It doesn't just try to focus in on the hockey so much, which I like. You know, because hockey does have, you know, they do have that typical, oh, let's do the underdog story or the... You know, like Miracle was, you know, Hollywood putting out a typical sports movie that focuses in on the hockey, right? Or the team winning the game.
Well, it's
right?
another Disney hockey movie, and Disney has made those type of hockey movies. You know, they did the Mighty Duck
movies,
Miracle.
It's a pretty, like, Miracle's a pretty good movie, but it's pretty by the book.
Yep.
It's so by the book. Like, same. I was in a I liked it, like, but I wasn't a huge fan. I preferred this film over that.
You wouldn't say it's a miracle,
back then,
would you?
Too, and still today.
Yeah, I think it's a better shot film. I think it's a better, it's a more, at least for us, for Canadians, it means more. Whereas Miracle is definitely an American.
Oh yeah,
movie.
I feel like if you're a hockey fan, you have to appreciate Maurice Richard though, no matter what, right? So it doesn't matter if you're, you know, American or Canadian. I feel like you should. You won't relate to the French Canadian thing, but even English speakers on the West Coast wouldn't relate to that as much either.
Yeah,
they don't get it, and a lot of, you know, it's an old problem as well. It's something that you felt it's not entirely,
gonna say, you
but
still
it's something
see it today.
Yeah, but not nearly as much.
Yeah,
because
right.
I mean, there was so much progress that was made immediately after that, Canada wide, right? So they're saying like we're so used to, like, there was a line in that movie where, oh, we're so used to losing, you know, like we just want to win just in sport, you know, at least something we can win in.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a commentary on like how, you know, French Canadians typically, they were pretty, they had a lot to deal with at that time, politically and in general. Right. And, it improved a lot, right. Especially after the charter. So they had, they got a lot of their rights. They got a lot of a lot more recognition, to the point where, you know, obviously people see Canada now, they really see it as being bilingual. Like, that's the part of the cultural identity here.
For sure.
So I think that it's relatable. It's a relatable movie, even if you don't quite get that aspect, just because it's a disadvantaged group, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a minority group. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you see that in different contexts. In this case, it happens to be French Canadians.
Yes.
So I think that it tells a more interesting story, and I appreciate it for that.
Yeah, no, I read that the Richard riots that showcased the movie was sort of like the launch kind of pad, or the starting point of what was known as the Quiet Revolution in Quebec.
Yeah.
And this kind of like was the launch pad to that, which makes sense. For a little bit more history into the Richard riots, like how it actually I bet you probably, Zach, and you don't probably know much about how that actually started. The commissioner, after he suspended Richard, just made the foolish idea to actually attend the Montreal game in Montreal in person, the next game, and that's what led to
he got attacked.
Tear gas and all that stuff, like it exploded, and so it's like not really a common sense idea. So it's crazy, just like how, like, you know, people always tell like athletes, you know, stick to sports, you know,
not politics,
and then yet they can have such profound influence and an impact on people. It's incredible. Alex, last but not least, what did you think?
Fucking loved it.
Oh, great.
I'm not a sports guy by any means necessary, but within the first 10 minutes of the film, I was hooked. I didn't care about giving a second thought to the dialogue or the shot or the flow or the tone of the film. I was in. I was all in. I wanted to know more about the story. I wanted to know more about the guy. Because, yeah, I was born in Canada, but unfortunately, I didn't take French after grade 8. I'm sorry. I should have. I should have chosen. Now, for any of you young listeners out there, when you're in high school, like I was in high school, when you get to grade 9, you have all your electives coming up. Choose French over gym. Gym is not that important. That's, you can go outside and walk around. You need to learn French. You
wish
need
I
to.
Had a choice.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't have a choice?
No, you had to take both.
Oh, good.
Well, I was, and on the East Coast, it was
French,
mandatory
about
until grade 10, at least core French.
If I didn't have gym, I wouldn't have passed high school, man.
Gym was, are you kidding? Gym was the only thing that ruined my straight A streak. I hated it.
It got me on the B honor roll, man. But anyways, continue.
So, yeah, take French. that's the big lesson. That's your Heritage Canada moment from this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think I had seen Roy Dupuis before. He looked familiar, though.
Probably from the Heritage
I don't
honestly like I totally forgot he was in that, and then when you mentioned it, I was like, oh yeah. it's weird, but were you like much of a hockey guy though? Because like I feel like French, you could like all the French politics stuff, like whatever, that was before my time. But like as a if you're a hockey fan, it's hard to like, even though Maurice Richard was retired, his legacy lived on, right? So even if you're like a young hockey fan, even if you're born in the 90s and the 80s, 80s, 90s, even in the 2000s, you knew Maurice Richard if you were into hockey, just because number 9 was iconic. His records his record breaking achievements were iconic. Everything. I mean, I grew up, I loved watching, I don't know if you ever seen it, The Sweater. It was a little anime.
Yeah.
It just tells a story about this, for those who haven't seen it, it's this very short animated I had it on cassette. I don't know where it played. I forgot, like, if it, I think it played on TV as well, but it was about this boy who idolized, you know, Maurice Richard, and all he wanted was a Canadiens jersey with the number 9 on the back. And it's actually narrated by, in English, but by a French Canadian, like a French Canadian, a guy with a French Canadian accent. So the whole thing has this, like, I'm not sure, I guess maybe they did that on purpose, but, just to give it that feel that you're in Quebec, right? Or this is a kid from Quebec. So, yeah, he just gets this sweater, and or he really wants this sweater, but he accidentally gets a Leaf sweater, like a Maple Leaf sweater. Or so he gets the Leaf sweater instead, and he's so upset, and all the kids are making fun because all the kids have a sweater with the number 9 on the back, yeah. Right? And as a kid, that's all I wanted too. I just wanted a Canadiens jersey with the number 9 on the back. So I idolized him as well as a kid. So. Wow. I mean, if you're a hockey fan, I think you should know Maurice Richard because he's an important figure in hockey. But yeah, like, no, that's why I asked the question. So I could see why, like, if you're not a hockey fan, you could easily miss that.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to let you take.
I remember the Heritage Canada stuff. I remember the basketball one.
Great.
And that's a good one.
I remember the
burnt toast.
How we got the Canada name, yep.
The media.
I remember that, but I don't remember much else.
I actually recently, just like 2 months ago, watched like 50 of these. Like, they're all on YouTube.
They're actually so great.
There's some that I'm like, I did not ever, I had never seen. There's actually newer ones too, which I'm just like,
that blows me away. I know the old ones. Great.
Still make them.
Some are actually like emotional.
Yeah, some of them are like really emotional, and some of them are like really bad too.
Halifax Explosion.
Oh, the Halifax Explosion one is great. Yeah. Like that one, and oh, it's just, we're getting off topic, but well, sort of.
Not entirely
actually.
But yeah, no, it's I had known about the Maurice because I was a big hockey fan. When I got into hockey, I just kind of just delved into the history and just became up almost an encyclopedia of like NHL history, and I really I knew about Maurice Richard and just what he had done and what he had did, what he had accomplished, and so when I saw the movie, I was already kind of very familiar with the story, but there were some things that I didn't even know. Like I didn't know that the league like gave like other players assists or just to push him down and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, like they fudge the,
yeah, just little things like that. It's like, that is like stuff you'd never heard, because why would the NHL want to admit that?
Yeah.
That's a huge scandal. If that was happening today, good God. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get away with it today, but still.
Everything's televised now.
Yeah, so. And they keep track of everything. So yeah.
A fan could watch games now and be like, exactly, that didn't happen. And they correct things all the time.
Exactly. Like, but still, the fact that happened is insane. It adds more layers to this already unique story. Yeah, no, and I just had something in my mind, but what do you think of some of the hockey actual hockey games that were photographed that you've seen, say in Slapshot or in Miracle, in terms of like, were they exciting, or do you think you've seen better?
I mean, I don't think it really matters, because honestly, I mean, the movie to me anyways, hockey was like the playground, it was like the main, you know, obviously place of where everything went down, but it really was about the French and English kind of relations at that time and all of that to me. So it's like, yeah, you know, there were games and things like that, and it was good, to answer, I guess, directly, but it was, it was cool to kind of get the effect of that era and things like that more. So that kind of drew me in a little more, I think. So like the game didn't really matter. It was like, oh yeah, he scores and things like that. But it's like, you know, you had to have that stuff in to kind of push the rest of the story.
You were going on a lot about the all the exterior shots, how they were shot with this blue kind of tint.
Yeah, and I'd seen a whole movie done like that, and I really liked it, and I'm forgetting what the name of it is, but it's really good. But yeah, it's a really cool effect, and I haven't really seen it since then. Yeah, and I just noticed it was like, yeah, the exteriors, they were really kind of like that blue-black and white kind of thing.
Yeah,
I like it,
and it matches the tone completely, because I used to watch Andrew, did you ever watch there used to be a show on all the time called Legends of Hockey, where they would go over it was always on like the Score, for those who lived in Canada, the Score channel, and they would always, it was basically a half an hour program where they would talk about a legendary hockey player.
Yeah.
And it was the most, like, well-produced and all that. And, yeah, no, I remember watching all those, and that's where I got my introduction to a lot of all those famous hockey players for Montreal, like Boom Boom Jevrion, Dickie Moore, and all that. And actually, like, one of the players who the coach, when he says, like, how hard is it to put this into the net, into this big net, and the one player just kind of laughs, and he goes, hey, Blake, you better smarten up. Mm-hmm. That player actually ended up being the coach for the Canadiens during the five consecutive wins.
That's funny.
And he ended up winning 10 Stanley Cups as a coach.
Damn.
To be, but he got, actually, no, sorry, he won 8. Mm. And then Scotty Bowman won 9 to beat his record after that. Yeah. What'd you think of the actress who played his wife? Let me just find her name. This is great commentary right now. Julie Le Breton. How do you think she played in the both as a character and also within the story?
Well, I don't know. As a character, just the kind of the reminder of his responsibilities. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't really have a strong opinion about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, I think I share that.
But she won Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like they were just going, like, this is such a Canadian film. Let's let's give it everything.
Except Best Picture.
Like, that's surprising. The actor who played Maurice, like, he's great. Like, he did a great job. I really liked his performance.
Like, quiet intensity about
him. He did. But then so did Maurice. Right, so he did a good job of portraying him. Like, he did a really good job. He looked the part so well. He really looked like young Maurice. So and yeah, like, you know, moments where he just broke down and stuff like that, he was really good. I felt like she was just like, she was fine, but I don't know. I couldn't get a read on her, really. It felt like some of her reactions were like,
we're kind
why?
Of like, just because the script demands it. Like, we need to drive the mood for the next couple scenes, so this is
it. Like, well, why are you upset? Why are you feel? I don't get it. Why? It's just, these are feel like just reactions less than like, you know, I mean, it wasn't bad or anything. It was just, I don't know.
Memorable. It's to remind you of the constant stakes. Outside of that, I don't really feel like it served a purpose that is particularly like meaningful, worth mentioning. In a way.
Yeah.
And clearly the Academy felt differently, but
whoever votes the Canadian ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've kind of seen stuff like that too in a lot of like sports movies too, about the wife and how she's always like, even Rocky
worried
and
stuff. Yeah.
Like, you've seen that, right?
To be fair, hockey at the time, it was a pretty insane sport in terms of player safety. Yeah. I mean, the idea that we didn't wear
player safety.
You know, goalies were basically just suicidal.
Well,
yeah,
exactly. It's just like, simmer down, lady. At least he's not a goalie.
I know, right? Hey, he's in a good spot right now. At least he's not getting puck shot at him. Could be. I gotta say about the shots though. I loved how they kind of nailed his iconic goals and things like that. Mm-hmm. Those were really awesome. Like, you don't see that in sports movies as much, like where they kind of, it's so stylized. Mm-hmm. And I just love the way that they shot those. Like, the one that sticks out the most for me too is the, you know, it's like famous too, right? Like, he was carrying him on his back and still scored. It was this guy who's like twice his size. I forgot the name of the player who was holding him.
I can't remember either. Sort of,
but I just remember, that's like a famous Richard moment, right? So I thought those were so well done, and it looked great. It was like, he's the only guy in him or whoever's checking him. They're the only ones on the ice the way it's shot. You know, it's so stylish. I liked it a lot.
No, I definitely think, like, from what I've seen, this is by far the best looking hockey movie, I think.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Actually, probably like one of the best photographed sports movies I've seen a lot of sports movies, and this one is like, every shot looked like the one shot that they used this motif a few times, but each time they showed it, it just looked great. Every time was them hopping over the bench. The low angle hopping over the bench, especially that one of Maurice when he's got like the cut in his eye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's just, like, bleeding all
over
the place.
And there is an iconic photo of when he shakes the guy's hand who hit him at the end of the game, because that was actually for the cup.
Mm-hmm.
during that game, and he comes back and he scores the
golden
win.
All those shots were great, like that whole like pulling back too, and of where he goes and he like breaks a stick over
his head,
over his head. Like, damn, like they pull back. Basically, I like how a lot of the shots, they're very close. They're very, you know, with hockey, a lot of what you watch is pulled back. You get to see the action on a big scale. But in this movie, they focus in a lot. It's all about Maurice, and that's why they shoot it that way. I just thought it looked really good.
Wow. Yeah. Because most sports movies that we see are all about the team and seeing how the team plays together, you know, with the Mighty Ducks.
And the games are shot like a kind of like just like a visceral mishmash of chaos and adrenaline. And
yeah, they're handheld. And this, and they're like... just,
yeah, exactly. But they're actually taking the time to focus on these are the moments that we want to show you.
Yeah, it wasn't so much capturing the game, but capturing the moments.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Definitely.
And it captured the moments, the iconic moments mostly, really well. And even not showing them, but just hearing it. And it just, you put all the images in your head. Like, we don't see him score the 8 points, but we just see the aftermath, which
is
great.
But then again, a portion of his career was, you know, there was no, a lot of people didn't see it. They heard it on the radio, right?
And that's perfect.
Yeah.
It shows that, because, the first televised hockey game was in, like, 1951 or 52 or something like that.
Yeah, I guess you couldn't just pull out your phone to check the highlights.
It really does capture that really well. And I loved how they showed, like, it wasn't just on the ice where they had to deal with, you know, discrimination or being hounded upon. It spread it throughout the fans, you know, even within themselves, of between the poor and the rich, with the fence and all that. Like, that stuff was, it just added to so many layers to this, again, already great story, that it's good when you see a story like this handled properly. You know, where they actually had a vision for this movie.
They gave a shit. Like, I mean,
It was, you could tell it's a passion for the people who are involved, right? Yeah. They actually care about the history. Right?
Yeah. Now, personally, my only real issue with the movie that I still have it is I do feel like the movie just kind of stops. Just kind of stops where I feel like would have been a great actual ending. And I alluded to it earlier. Was they played in the movie that they gave him like a 10-minute standing ovation when he got like named 3 stars in the same game or something like that, when he broke the record for 45 goals.
Yeah.
And they showed how much they loved him. I would love to have seen either the real version or maybe a reenactment of that famous 96 when he's old and he comes out and the fans still love him.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that almost kind of would have been like a good, like, coming full circle.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit of closure. I feel like that could have been a very, a good, like, how much he did have an impact. And that was like, he retired in 1960 and that happened in 96. So there's fans who never even saw him. Like, their dad's not even seen him because it's been that long. Yeah. And yet they still loved him.
Yeah.
He meant that much to him.
Like I said, like, I never saw him play.
Neither did I. Of course. Neither did Alex.
Like, none of us saw him play, but, like, I mean, he had a real impact on me growing up, and me, like, my ideas of hockey and the way that I viewed hockey. So, yeah, like, his impact was so widespread. Not even just to Central Canada. Mm-hmm. I would say... as for all Canadians, right? And you got to remember that you got to remember his impact on just the game itself, right? He's just one of those quintessential hockey players that changed the game.
Yes, absolutely. He's when you talk about Maurice, he's in the same breath as Gordie Howe, Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr, Brahel, any of those guys. They are the top tier players, and Maurice was definitely one of the first in terms of...
He made it exciting again.
Yeah, he did. Especially during the war and depression, when, you know, a lot of NHL players, you know, either left or they went to war.
Yeah.
Or teams actually folded. Because a big misconception about the NHL with the original six is that those weren't the first six teams. There was actually other teams that had come before then. I think the most they had was 9. And then during the depression and leading up to the war, it dwindled down to just 6. But it stayed 6 until for 20 years, something like that. So but the game was shrinking, and as they alluded to in the early in the movie, that the league was
on the
close
verge
to
of collapse.
And you know, that also again shows to how much, you know, Maurice meant, not just to Montreal but to the game in general. And they honor him by they give out the award for most goals in a season, and it's called the Maurice Rocket Richard Trophy, which I think there's no one better I would name it after. He was a transcender. He led. Yeah, he was just. There's nothing more. There's not much more I can say about the man. He's
no,
just,
yeah,
he's an
and
icon.
I mean, you get a lot of names thrown around during that movie, right? Like you have Smythe, right? Conn Smythe,
and Frank Selke and all
Selke.
That.
Yeah, literally, they're naming awards at that point because these guys are so so essential that they all ended up being their own individual awards, right? But it was funny, right? Like, the scoring award, Selke, right? And So I there's one other thing I think in terms of hockey movies, there is one other hockey movie that I think is stylish in the way that this one is. I thought that Goon was really stylish well. So that's another hockey movie that I think kind of nails the whole, like, just the style of it. Because, like, a lot of the fight sequences, a lot of the on-ice action was done in that way. But I think, the other ones are a lot more by the numbers hockey, like, on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more by the numbers. But I think Goon is another one that's kind of similar in that sense of having its own style. Different kind, but for sure, because they're totally different.
It's got more of a slapshot vibe.
Goon? It's even more than that. Like, they have a lot of, like, really neat slow-mo mixed with the gore. Again, it's R-rated. It focuses on a totally different aspect of hockey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So about the, you know, about the enforcer, the change, actually, that's kind of interesting, because then this movie focuses in on the beginnings of hockey. Enforcers were really important then. They kind of gloss over that in the movie a little bit, but they give hints, right? Like Boston, right? The idea that Boston were big bullies, right, in the league at the time. And, it was all about, like, fighting and proving your worth. How they just got, you'll get a player to take out to eliminate the all-star, right?
Yeah.
To kind of take him out of the game. And, that's interesting. And then, a movie like Goon, which is modern day, talking about how enforcers are pretty much not needed in the league anymore.
No, and if you look at the current product in the NHL, they're in the, endangered species.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But back then, they were just in their heyday. They were coming up. It was important because of the rise of all stars like Maurice Richard, right? They became important because they had to protect them, right?
Yeah.
And then now you look at it that many decades later, and it's like, no, now they're a dying species because everybody can fight now. And everybody can protect themselves, right?
And it's a different game too. Like
it's about speed and skill, and the guys who have the skill are also no slouches when it comes to the physicality.
Yeah,
they're so different now.
Yeah, now you have to if you're going to be a tough, a fighter, you also have to have the skills and the hands to go to complement the fighting skills. Which, again, the fighting is dwindling. If you're just known for fighting, you ain't playing the NHL.
Just gonna get dumb penalties, and then
gonna
cost your team.
Like,
they
even like the joke, like, he can't even skate. The Sean Avery. I love that Sean Avery was playing him.
Mm-hmm.
When the movie came out, this was during when Sean Avery was like the most hated hockey player in the NHL.
He was like the agitator.
Yeah, so just having him play, everyone was just like, perfect casting. And actually having Vincent LeCavier, he played Jean Beliveau in the movie, and they're actually related, so I thought that was very fitting.
That's cool.
Too. It's actually kind of funny. Just I'm like, all these current NHL players, I'm like, oh no, they actually are already retired. It's been 12 years since this movie came out. Shit, I'm getting old.
They were current then,
not anymore. Of them are retired for like X plus years. Like, you should know Mike Ricci. He played for the Sharks for time. And Alex, you mentioned how you had never really been familiar with the story, and you just instantly were invested. What were some of the main things that really caught your attention? Like, I didn't know that, or really stood out for you?
The whole story of Maurice.
Just the whole thing?
I didn't know a damn thing about Maurice. At least not that I could remember. Like I said, the face of Roy Dupree, he looked really familiar, but then again, I don't think I've seen him before. So it's a weird thing that I can't really explain. But yeah, he fit the part. Like, when I first saw him on the screen, I thought, yep, that's him, and I'm with it. I think it's something to do, and this is probably just for me with regards to films that you have to read the subtitles. I think you have to concentrate that much more, not only to read, but to also catch up and pay attention to what's going on screen. I think that really helped to pull me in.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that particular point in time, the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, and not knowing anything about hockey, especially back then, that opened my mind. It was great.
Yeah, there's some truth to that with subtitles too. Like, I find, you know, there's obviously like a lot of people who complain about subtitles in general that I don't want to read, right?
Oh.
Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, I always found that too, that like subtitled movies were kind of like the best because they really would, you know, suck you in. And depending on how you learn and things, if you're someone who learns from reading and things, it just draws you into the dialogue that much more. It's an added kind of thing.
Well,
you're
reading it and you're hearing it. You're absorbing it two ways.
Exactly. So you learn more naturally. Like, it's, so it's great. I think it's great. Yeah.
You definitely do focus in on the subtitles though. So that is something that, you do tend to, it's not, I wouldn't say it's distracting, but, you
think it detracts from the visual a bit?
Yeah, well, it's a translation, right? So there's that aspect to it. There's a little bit of variation, obviously, that's just kind of inherent with translation.
Yeah.
But you know, I feel like if you're, so there's two, so me personally, if I actually wanted to watch something in a different language, for the language and less for just like for fun watching the movie, like, recreationally, then I would turn off the subtitles because then you just focus on the subtitles and you don't focus on the actual language being spoken as much, because you're, in order to process the like to actually process the story, you focus on the language you know best, right? If you actually want to focus in on, I find that if you want to focus in on the language, then if you turn off those subtitles, it forces you to really focus on the language and understand it, because otherwise you're listening to nothing, to gibberish. Mm. You're not getting any of it. Mm. So I totally depends on your level of understanding of that language.
Yeah,
but if you're learning, or you have an understanding, if it's like at an intermediate level or something like that, yeah, I think you're at an added benefit to just turn off the subtitles.
Yeah.
But I personally find with subtitles on, I agree. You definitely focus in on the dialogue just naturally because you're reading, and I like that personally. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's the dialogue was really good. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and I'd rather watch a movie with subtitles, hearing the actors' natural voices rather than a voiceover.
Yes.
I think it adds to the whole real flavor and authenticity of the film. Yeah. And
I actually recently just had a moment of that where I showed my brother The Raid for the first time.
Yeah.
And when it's,
there's a dub on that?
No, when it played, it went instantly to the English dub.
Oh boy.
And I was like, nope, no.
Yeah. And heels to the north.
I instantly turned
it
off.
Also, you'd miss out on so much in that movie if you had like the English VO, just because the way they deliver that dialogue.
Yes.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
smokes, it's like intimidating.
Yeah.
It adds to it, yeah.
Especially for a movie like that, I don't think you can get the same kind of same kind of like frenzy and franticness
in a
sound studio than you would for actually like performing that.
Yeah, like I can actually remember a bit of dialogue for a language I don't understand from that movie because it was so memorable.
Yeah, I think I know the line you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the one where he's on the bad guys on the radio and he just says, everyone have fun, put us on now, whatever.
Yeah,
Yeah, dude.
Like, and I was like, holy shit.
No, it's in the trailer, so it instantly stands out. But no, I agree with you. Just when you hear the actual like enunciation from the actor, and because there's always like a drawback, you're like, that doesn't sound that's not his voice.
It's unnatural. Yeah,
yeah, it sounds very natural. Like you can get away with it in an animation film, in anime,
like Dragon Ball Z or something. Yeah,
yeah, like any of that. You could, like, to me, that's really the only way. The only type of filmmaking with animation is the only way you can do dubbing and get away with
like,
it.
I won't be upset if I watch like a Studio Ghibli movie with like the especially modern ones with the English VO.
They give a shit too,
because they really do give a shit, and they get good actors now, especially.
Yeah, and they do a good like translation dub. They do a really
The translation's
good,
very good.
Yeah, because that's sometimes the hardest thing, especially we do with live action dubbing. For example, certain movies that were recorded that had the whole movie is dubbed is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
The whole thing was not recorded in English because only three actors spoke English. The rest spoke Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had to redub everything, including making it look like the Italian actors are speaking English.
That's tough.
So they had to almost kind of rewrite the dialogue just to match the cadence of how their mouths are moving in Italian.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And there's like one line I remember, like there's a character going like, he said it, the English line they ended up going with is more feeling because how he said the feeling. With his mouth movement and his Italian weight, I don't know. He said something different,
right?
But yeah, that's the negative side of doing a dub in English with live action is that sometimes you have to change the line in order to match, you know, as close as possible to what their mouths are saying.
Yeah,
and it really takes. I feel like that takes you out more of the movie more than reading the subtitles.
Sure.
Oh, I don't think that subtitles take you out of the movie. I think the consensus, at least with us, was that it draws you in.
But that is a lot of what the argument people have made against subtitles is that it takes you out of the movie because, again, as Eric said, you're reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to me, it's more distracting when you hear a voice that's not their voice.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's moviegoers that go to movies to unwind or like they as distractions where they don't want like say at the end of a long work day or something like that and they just want to turn off. I think those are the kinds of people who don't want to read subtitles because that's not what movies are for them. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, as much as I don't think that that's, you know, like you should be upset about subtitles if they're in a movie.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason to be upset about it. If you're a movie goer where it's like, okay, you don't like to read them because that's not how you watch movies. Fine. But don't complain about there being subtitles in movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just watch different movies then. Right. Yeah. So I think that that's, you know, I guess we all agree that, you know, subtitles are subtitle movies can be more engaging than just regular, like English movies. Like if you speak English, then regular English movies.
Well, and those people too that just want to like turn their brains off and kind of watch it. I mean, that's fine too. But at the same time, if you kind of start watching movies with subtitles, you do get used to it. I mean, after a while, and in that it becomes very natural where it's not like a work, effort or anything. It becomes very natural.
Yeah, yeah. Those same people who say that probably never read ever. Well, I think if you read books, you're probably fine reading subtitles because you're fine with reading. Mm-hmm. I think there's some people who just hate reading and that will extend to movies. So. Yeah. Whatever. That's kind of a bullshit criticism.
Yeah. I also appreciate movies that, particularly, this is a great example of that, is where the characters are actually speaking their natural language and not just speaking English with an accent.
Yeah.
You know, to me, like, that's just like the Hollywoodization of doing like a foreign piece was they have to speak English because no one wants to read.
Yeah.
So because they feel like no more people see that, but we've seen that disproven over and over again. Mm-hmm. Inglourious Basterds being probably the most mainstream example of a movie
doing like four different languages.
Doing four different languages, not just like little bits here and there. No, for like entire scenes, they're speaking German, French, or Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it made like $400 million. So to me, like, that argument doesn't hold anything because all it takes to me is a good story and good premise. People will watch anything.
Yeah.
Like, look how successful the Raid movies are as what had been. And for Indonesian foreign films, where, and especially the second one, which again, the second one had Japanese, Indonesian, and English at times.
It did. Yeah.
It's also got some of the most stylistic, like best action in a movie of all time.
Yeah. So, yeah, but still,
like, even if you didn't want to pay attention to the dialogue, you would still get
a lot of it.
There's been lots of great action movies that have come out of either Japan, Korea, or whatever, but they don't do well out here.
Yeah.
But we've seen how that, like, more movies are pushing around that whole like idea of that English speaking movies won't sell in English countries. Like, no, they can.
Yeah.
They just have like the fact that they are great action movies. People are seeing it because of that. They don't care about the language anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Yeah.
And I like movies again. Like, my whole point is I like seeing movies that actually have authentic language and they don't you know, pussyfoot around, making it mostly English or a little bit of French here and there. You know, that's the one thing I'll knock against, like, just because it's fresh in my mind, was Scarface. They're all speaking English, and they barely speak any Spanish, even though all the characters are Spanish.
Sure,
yeah. They'll just, like, speak with an accent.
Yeah, and so I feel like that era of kind of doing movies has been slowly disappearing, because I think we're becoming a lot more accepting of different languages, at least watching it in mainstream films. It's no longer really a crux, as I think it was.
No, we're still not quite there, though, too.
No, we've still got a long way to go, but we're on the right track, I think.
Mm.
You know, another small little detail in this movie that I liked was the fact that they kind of it's not explicit. It's not a focal point for the movie, but early in the movie, you know, as his NHL career is starting, his English is so bad that it's basically like a word here or there.
You can't even speak.
And then
really,
he progressively gets, but there are moments like as they jump ahead in time where he'll have to speak English to a reporter, to whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that his English improves, and then it improves again.
Yeah.
And it's just a subtle thing, but like as his career goes on and he has to engage with English speakers more, mm-hmm. his English gets better. It's just a neat little thing that I kind of appreciated, because I was like, yeah, totally, right? It's just like it's just the details, you know?
Yeah, and I kind of like that it parallels when, not at the same time, but it kind of works when the coach, when they win the cup later on in the movie, where he congratulates and thanks his players in that one line.
Oh, his French is just horrible.
But the fact that he's trying shows like how far not only has Maurice come along, but also the coach, and how both English and French have made progress, you know, a little bit, and it shows that you can find common ground. This can lead to better things, and
that was a nice moment. But the onus is that was also the point, is that the onus is always on the French speaker to learn more English, right?
That's true.
And that's where a lot of the resentment it's interesting, but that's where a lot of the resentment comes from like French speakers not really wanting to have to speak English, like even though they know how to speak. You know, they'll know how to speak English, but, you know, they don't want it to be an obligation, because it comes from that history, right?
Yeah.
The idea that, like, you expect me to speak English, but, you know, why shouldn't you speak French?
No, that's a fair point.
That's Canadian, too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And I totally get that mentality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be, like, you know, if somebody's, like, trying, you know, you don't have to be a jerk about it, is the way I look at it, because people get really passionate about this stuff, and you should just try to be nice to each other and communicate.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Just find a middle ground or whatever, but, like, you know, both sides can be a little stubborn about it too, but I understand where the French come from, because it's like French Canadians, especially because it was minority in Canada. So, it's a much more challenging position to be in. So a lot of change since then, but, I love that detail though.
Yeah.
Like those small little details. And I love that moment, by the way, that, where he pulls out a little piece of paper and reads his little French sentence that he's prepared. It was meaningful. It was meaningful.
It's like he got lessons from Zach.
From Zach. Big time.
Canadien.
Oh,
that New Brunswick French education there.
L'ordinateur.
Tres bien.
Oui.
Jeez. Zach, you had mentioned that you felt it was a little slow in places.
A little bit.
Where exactly did you feel this the most, like, happening? Like, what scenes? Because it felt like it wasn't just one part. Like, I mentioned the ending being a little bit of a gripe for me.
Yeah, and I remembered that, too. I forgot to mention the ending. I'm with you on that, too. It just kind of stops, and it's like, that's kind of... It's like it's almost like they didn't know how to end it. Like, so they're just let's have them walk down a hallway and, you know, get his sexy eyes there.
Yeah, like, I don't think they should have, like, continued with the five consecutive Stanley
Cups.
No, it's
a little too much.
That's just an afterthought in the overall story. But what I brought up the when he's older and like.
Yeah, I don't think it matters how they did it. As long as they had ended it on his impact. But they didn't really. No. They just said, you won five more Stanley Cups, and you're like, well, yeah, he won a lot of Stanley Cups already, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not, you know, that's not like the impactful text at the end that you're used to when you're talking about like an important figure's legacy.
Yeah.
I think that his legacy, like, you could have shown anything. You could have shown what you said, where, you know, in color, years later on TV, you're seeing the real old Maurice Richard getting all the respect and all the love from everybody in Montreal. You could show like old footage of him. You could like real footage. You could show so many different things.
Yeah, that's something they didn't do that a lot of biopics do, is actually showing the real person that they're depicting. They like most biopics, we usually see a photo or you actually see him in the actual movie sometimes. Yeah,
even that stuff would have been fine, because you would have like felt it. You would have felt like it's real. You would have felt like this is legacy here.
Especially because of all the effort they went to make the visuals kind of match in a way and give a similar vibe.
Yeah, having been in Montreal for the first time last year, not much in terms of like how the houses, all the stairs.
Yeah.
They're everywhere in that city. Like, I'm like, oh, you could have picked any block, because there's the multi-layered and all that. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not much has changed in terms of the architecture.
Nope. No, it's really cool, actually. Just the old architecture. It's really pretty.
Mm-hmm. No, I liked how Montreal, the whole movie it's honestly one of the better looking films I think we've watched in this overall in the show. I think it's definitely up there.
Well, it's cool that it's a Canadian film too, because I'm so used to seeing so many Canadian productions, and it just, they don't give a shit. It's just like, oh, they might have a good story, but the technical like aspect is just poor.
The craftsmanship.
Like, and it's just like, it just detracts into, it makes it like mediocre at best, where it's like, all right, at least you were okay. Like, you know, that's really shitty, right? Whereas this one, they look like they kind of, you know, they swung high, you know?
Yeah.
They actually cared about this. And yeah, it looked really good. I was really impressed.
Yeah, no, it hasn't aged at all. It's still...
Yep.
Yeah, no, honestly, like, I can't... I'm just going to go on a limb. I do think that, like, this is the best photographed sports movie that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't think of any other sports movie.
Remember the Titans.
No, this is better shot than Remember the Titans. Like, Remember Titans is another... Remember Titans
Radio.
Is,
Mystery Alaska.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. Yeah.
But that's another example of, like, the team who's Air the underdog. Yeah, I know. Underdog who sucks. And then they face against the New York Rangers at the end of the game in Alaska.
Reminds me of best hockey movie, MVP.
Well, I was just about to get into the monkey business, because the spy mate count, even though there's no sports, but I just think that's a great movie. I just want to pitch it out to everybody. Underrated movie.
When I was trying to find box office results for The Rocket, the lowest one, there's only like 16 movies on the list, and near the bottom was MVP in terms of box office returns.
Oh, boy.
But then, you know what the number one hockey movie at box office is?
Miracle?
Yeah.
Is it Miracle, it's really? Miracle, I figured it'd be like Slapshot or something.
No.
Nope.
It has to be Miracle, because it was about the... USA. It had a lot of... Yeah, it was a USA, so you had a lot of people in the U.S. who would give a crap about it.
It's a Disney Cold War. Movie. Yeah, Disney movie,
Disney,
too.
Disney movie, yeah. And like...
Well, the Mighty Ducks, man.
Yeah. And
Mighty Ducks, Knuckle Puck.
Mighty Ducks, yeah.
Lion B.
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
The best hockey movie. No, score
that probably did
musical.
Remarkably well on home video.
Score.
No, that movie is in the top five for highest grossing hockey movies.
Score a hockey musical?
No.
Olivia Newton-John, man.
Can't say I've seen that movie.
No, Olivia Newton-John.
Can't say I will ever see that movie.
You should.
Yeah.
I think we're about ready to wrap
up. Yeah, we're running out of gas.
Well,
you know what? I will say this. NHL commissioner... probably worst job ever, because they all suck.
Yeah, look at Bettman. Look at
Bettman sucks.
Takes.
You know,
it's the thankless job of being in charge of a hockey
thankless
league.
Job, totally. And they do the politics do suck. So they are in charge of the shitty politics. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, actually, I heard Bettman got just. Reamed.
Nobody likes him.
I heard he got reamed yesterday by Ron McLean on CBC during the All-Star game. I heard he called him out and all that stuff. So
good. Yeah, this year, this Olympics is going to be a little bit. This year's Olympics are going to be a little. It's the first time like that
20 years since
1998. So like I think this is the first time in my lifetime that I would be able to remember, because there's no, I don't remember 20 years ago, like that.
Yeah,
that Olympics, right? Because I was quite young, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, it's kind of, it feels like the end of an era, like in a way, because it's been a few decades, right?
So, I think this is going to be a one and done. I feel like they're going to come back.
They're going to like be like, oh,
I mean,
shit.
Crosby pushed against it, like pushed back a lot when it came to when they were making that decision. And,
sure.
You know, and even he couldn't, and he's kind of like a poster.
But most NHL's of the players, boy, I think, right?
It's going to be a part of the next CBA agreement, because they got to get, because the NHL wants to push the World Cup, so they have to find a good deal with that, because the players don't like playing in September, but they might talk about pushing the World Cup to February. So making every, so like every 2 years, you're going to have like a February international tournament, whether it's the Olympics or the World Cup.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah. And if they can get to that, then everybody wins, but they got to get to that.
Yeah. And like, you know, it'll be fun to watch both, and you might have passion for both tournaments. So like that would be cool to watch, but you know, like, you know, to kind of get back to the whole like thankless job kind of thing, like, it's funny because I actually remember, like, because I always remember watching and seeing, like, Batman especially come out and just booze, dude.
Yeah.
Just booze. Oh, yeah. Like, audible boo. Even on camera. Usually on camera, it's, like, hard to capture. It's not like being there. It's hard to capture all those boos, but damn, you feel it when he goes out there sometimes. Yeah. Like, if you ever see Batman on the ice, it's like,
it's glorious every year.
Holy shit, that guy is no fans.
Yeah, and it's great when you like, to me, it means a lot more when the Stanley Cup is being presented in a city that is not known for being having passionate hockey fans, and seeing them equally hate them as much as, like, for example, Nashville. They've recently come along as being like this very big hockey city.
Yep.
But 10 years ago, no one would have said that. But hearing them boo the shit out of Gary Bettman in the finals last season was awesome.
You know, I'm sure he's for sure used to it. And I'm sure he doesn't care.
I heard he did this once.
Yeah. He pulled a Patrick Waugh. Okay.
Oh yeah, and a Carey Price.
It's a Montreal thing.
It is. The fans just turn on the goalies at some point. The goalies go, ah, fuck you.
Yeah, whatever, bring it.
Yeah, after a while, yeah.
But this movie, watching this, I'm like, oh yeah, it's always sucked for them. That position is real bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least he didn't get assaulted.
At least Batman hasn't started a riot, like himself.
Yeah, that's true. It could be worse.
It could be. You never know.
There's still time.
There's He's not retired yet.
Yeah, there's another locket around the corner, so we'll see. Let's see what happens in Calgary. Anyways, so I guess we'll wrap this up. I'll get our final thoughts. I'll start with Alex. Overall, final thoughts on the movie?
I do think it's underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen a lot of movies, never heard of this one. And like I said, not a sports fan, love this movie. Can't recommend it enough. It's got that not underrated Canadian touch, but it's got that Canadian touch of where they don't overplay the drama. They just bring it up a little bit. And then they move on. It's not like some American productions where the score comes up and everyone's crying and they're trying to milk it for all it's worth. That's not what a lot of Canadian films do. And this one is one of those films. It's very subdued, just like the main character. I got into the main character when his younger self said that he's not one for small talk. Mm-hmm. I identified with that and I liked it. You had said, you had talked about some of the shots in the film, and I'm going to contradict myself with what I said in the beginning, that I didn't concentrate on the shots. Well, I think some of the tracking shots on the ice, either in front of or behind the main character, Maurice, I think those shots could have been longer because they're following him, and it's great to see him on the ice. I know it's technically difficult to do, but it pulls off so well if they could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like with North American produced martial arts movies.
Right.
There's a lot of quick cuts. There's a lot of changing of the angles. No, what you should do, anyone who's listening who wants to make a martial arts film, watch a lot of Asian kung fu movies. A lot of times what they'll do, they'll step back about 10 feet from where the actors are going to fight. They'll set up the camera there. It's just two actors, and they'll have them go at it for a good 5 or 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's your shot. That's what people want to see. They don't want to see a bunch of cuts. So if they could have done a little bit more following on Maurice, that would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew, you had talked about sport uniting a country. And of course, that was in the film as well. There's a movie that I'm just blanking on. It was such a famous movie. Starring Matt Damon and Morgan Freeman about South African football players.
Oh, Invictus.
Yeah. Invictus, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Same idea. Sport uniting people. So that helped as well. And I want to give a shout out to Trevor and Corey Turner, because for the amount of times back in the 90s when I went over to their place to watch either wrestling or hockey, I'm surprised either they didn't say anything about Maurice Richard, or I wasn't listening, because they love hockey even to this day.
They got a hand in their hockey fan cards.
Freaking love hockey, and Trevor and Corey, if you're listening, I hope your mom is doing okay. And I got to give a shout out to Nick Broadbent as well of the Jabroni Jabber podcast, because almost every day in high school that I can remember, he would be wearing a red Canadiens jersey, and he'd be proud of it. No matter how much shit people talk to him, either people in high school or people from the mill or just people in the mall, he would wear it proudly.
Nice.
And I dig that. So yes, this is a very good film. Go out and see The Rocket. I would say, like I've said before, see it now, then go see it again in 5 years. I think you'll appreciate it more. I'm going to see it again in another few years, and I think I'll like it.
Yeah, no, it had been about that much time since I last seen the movie too, and yeah, no, definitely I still think holds up for sure, and it's a solid piece. Like, for Canadian films that are the Canadian film genre in general, how like it's sort of lacking a true identity, I feel like this is definitely one of the most notable Canadian films to come out to showcase what Canada can do.
Yeah.
You know, if you were to, you know, put together a good list of Canadian films of like to show off, this is definitely, I would put that on the list for sure.
Yeah, especially with the national pastime.
Oh yeah,
we can do that well.
Yeah. Big time. Mm-hmm. Andrew.
Yeah, for sure it's underrated, just because I feel like nobody has seen this movie. I think the only reason I saw it is because we're, you know, I was a part of a hockey family, and I also, my family cared a lot about, especially like me and my mom cared a lot about Maurice Richard, so obviously we saw this movie. Yeah, but I feel like most people I talk to haven't seen this movie. I was surprised to see the Rotten Tomato meter. Their score there at 58%. I was a little surprised by that. I thought it would have been higher. So I guess it critically, it was kind of polarizing as well. So I think it's much better than that. You know, like as we said, it's beautifully shot. The story is engaging, and it's not just about the sport. It's a very character driven story. It's about Maurice. It's about his journey and his impact, right? And his struggle. I would say it's mostly about his struggle. And I think they pull it off really well. So I highly recommend it. Definitely.
Awesome. Zacho?
Maybe the Rotten Tomatoes meter is a reflection of the English and the French.
Yeah, you know, it's just a bunch ongoing. Of the English going.
Yeah, the tension.
Nope.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Nope.
Yeah, so this movie is pretty good, and I learned that, you know, if you're ever lucky enough to be a part of a Stanley Cup winning team and you win the cup and you're taking drinks out of it and you're like, what do I do now? Just send it to your dishwasher. That's well, what that, you do.
That's
you
some
just
of the
send it to your dishwasher. Some and of the you'll take care of it.
Some of the stories of what actually happened to the Stanley Cup.
It's amazing.
You know, it's like, oh, the damage and the miles that cup has traveled.
Yeah, and didn't it almost get lost or something? Like,
probably.
Like numerous bunch occasions. Of times.
They got like, tossed into pools.
Now it literally has handlers. Like, it is so important. Yeah. Like, it's funny to think of it being like this throwaway thing back in the day.
Yeah. Literally handled with kid gloves.
Now you literally have to wear gloves to handle that thing.
Only players who just won are
allowed to touch it without gloves. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's funny, man.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of said all that really needs to be said, really. I mean, it's a gorgeous movie. That's really struck me. I thought the performances were really good. And it's a story that needed to be told, and it's not one that you hear a lot. I mean, you hear a lot of similar stories that, you know, revolve like around race or, you know, other things, right? And it's kind of cool that it's more of like a language kind of you know, tension and things like that. It's pretty cool. And I mean, yeah, it's something that we need to talk about more for sure. Obviously, it's not nearly as bad as it was back then, Canada at least. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, and wash your cup. Wash your Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Rather?
Yeah, see this movie. It's great. The problem with the sports movie genre is that it can tend to get pretty exhaustive pretty quickly, but this one, I think, is a breath of fresh air, really. Definitely a lot of rewatch value there, a lot of positive characteristics and plenty of things to set it apart. So I would absolutely say this is an underrated movie and would recommend it to anyone.
Awesome. Yep, and for my final thoughts, yeah, I definitely think this is an underrated movie. I think it's underrated sports movie. I think it's an underrated Canadian movie. It's a great movie. It's well executed. It's well shot. It's well acted. Just, you know, everything, just it clicks. It's one of the things about why I think this stands ahead on top of hockey movies is a lot of hockey movies I feel like are made by people who have never watched hockey. Mm. Or have played it, and it almost like it doesn't take the game seriously.
Yeah,
it's almost like used as a prop.
Yeah,
where they almost kind of make fun of it—the fact that they're on ice and, you know, a little puck or whatever like that. I've seen those jokes, you know. It's nice to see a movie that that takes a sport seriously and showcasing actually what it means to be a hockey player, the struggles and all that, just how hard it is to play in the game. Like, those moments I feel like are not captured a lot in most hockey movies. It's usually just played for laughs. And I appreciate that. And yeah, no, so overall, go see it. If you love sports, if you love hockey, or you love the Montreal Canadiens, definitely go see this. I'd like to give a shout out to Adam Kramer, who's the one who introduced me to this movie all those years ago. He is a huge Habs fan as well and proudly wore his Canadiens jersey as well to high school. And thank you for showing me this movie all those years ago, Kramer. And next week we have Zach. It's his turn next.
It is my turn, yeah.
Any hints what we're going to have to suffer through?
Well, suffer through, that's a different kind of show we used to do, Jack.
That's true.
No, this is going to be a glorious occasion.
Green Christmas?
Yeah, Green Christmas. Yeah, exactly.
Green, yeah. Italian Christmas.
Italian Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
It might be an Italian movie, you never know. Might be from Peru.
From Peru.
Is it a horror movie though?
I don't know what I'm picking yet.
So
I can just kind of say like, "Oh yeah, it's from Venezuela." And then sure. And then it's like, I don't know what I'm picking. I have so many movies to pick from. That's my problem, is I have a huge
could
stack.
Very well be from Venezuela.
It could be. I mean, any guess is as good as mine at this point. I have a lot of great movies that I'm trying to pick through, and I'm kind of like, okay, mm-hmm. I don't know what to pick, but I mean, I guess we'll see. I don't know myself yet.
Well, if you
were... He's going to put forward the movie The Comet. That's your next movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't know that it was his first nickname either. The Comet. Imagine
that
if
was something
imagine
new for
if
me
that
when
stuck.
I watched it.
Imagine
yeah.
if that stuck. Just
it wouldn't Comet Richard. It doesn't roll.
No, it doesn't work. And it, like one other thing that they completely did not have in this movie was all, at all is that did you guys know that Maurice Richard's brother also played in the NHL with him?
Really?
I did. I knew that. So. Late,
like he joined. Actually, funny enough, he joined the. You know what? Actually, I think he joined the team. The next season when they won their five straight.
There's photos of them playing together.
Yeah.
Like, so...
The Pocket Rocket was his nickname.
The Pocket... I knew that, funny. Too. I knew that, too. God damn. Like, yeah, obviously a big fan over here. Like, my mom actually bought a photo, which would be worth, like, an insane amount now because it was a photo of him and his brother... together on the ice, like black and white photo signed by them.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, signed by both Maurice and his brother.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, but she's, I think she's having a hard, she's was having a hard time finding it because it was like put away and then she's trying to find it. But I remember her having that photo. It was signed. It had like the document of authenticity. Nice. This was before he died.
Oh, yeah.
And then I guess now it would like it's, especially special because it's, you know, it's kind of like a piece of history now in a way, like you're like, you know, it's signed by him. So that's, yeah, it's kind of crazy. I almost forgot that we had that, but
yeah, no, yeah. Henri Richard is he holds a record that I don't think will ever be broken in the NHL, which is most Stanley Cups won by one player.
Yeah,
he won 11.
That's pretty crazy.
Oh yeah, that record. Yeah, yeah. There's some records you look at and you're like, nah, not in this NHL.
No,
no, it's a different game now. Yeah, right?
Like most of Gretzky's records.
At least half of his records. I don't like 50 goals in 39 games.
Nope.
I don't see that game broken anytime soon.
No,
or like 8 straight like Art Ross trophies and like 9 straight, you know, Hart trophies for MVP and like
It's just a different game. And you know, like to say like Gretzky's been on record as well as saying like it's a different game now.
Well, it
like,
is. It,
yeah, there's a reason why I don't. He's trying not. He's trying to kind of.
He's trying
pretty,
to say I'm
he's pretty
still
humble
the best,
about
okay?
the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm still the best.
And trying to say like, yeah, I don't think that I'm like is better than these guys. That I think that they're just they have to work so hard. And he's so humble about it when he talks about it. So, for sure.
But I am still the great one.
Maurice will hold on to that record. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Gretzky will.
No, for Stanley Cups.
Oh, Henri Richard. Yeah.
Or sorry, Henri. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Maurice won 8.
Henri.
Just 8.
I don't think anybody will beat Marc Messier's record of the amount of Lay's chips he's eaten.
I thought record.
Bitch can he just won.
Yeah, he's a hockey player who's eaten the most potato chips.
This podcast sponsored by Lay's.
And on that note, thank you everyone for joining us again. Tune in next week for Zacho's pick and I guess should end it with
Rocket Man.
A bientôt tout le monde.
Oh ho ho.
Al Sandy.
Oprah.